Heavenly Father, as we look at your word together, we pray that you will open our hearts to receive all that you want to speak to us about today, that we may grow in faith, that we may grow in Christ Jesus, and as families together, we may help our young people too to grow up in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. And we're going to look at this passage. We've got an ABC and three things that we're going to look at. Yes, next please, Sarah. Assurance, belief and commandment. Only one of the good things to keep your mental capacities going is to go backwards. You know, when you learn to count up to 10 or 20, you have to be able to do it backwards as well. So we're going to do CBA. So we're going to begin with commandment to love one another. So we've heard from 1 John before in chapter 2, and here we've got a different emphasis. We've heard about love, but this is about loving one another. And the first thing that John starts about is what love isn't. Next, please, Sarah. And he gives an example of Cain as one who didn't love his brother. He hated him. Now, why was that? These are two brothers. It's in Genesis chapter 4, if you want to read the story when you go home. Adam and Eve's boys, Adam, Cain and Abel, and they brought offerings to God. We don't know the full story. We've only got a little bit of it, and it's mentioned again in Hebrews. But somehow there was something wrong with Cain's offering, and God rejected it. So Abel was doing very nicely, thank you, but Cain wasn't. Now then, they've got lots of people who've got brothers and sisters here today. Why was it, do you think, that Cain wasn't happy with his brother Abel? Why wasn't he very happy? Don't shout out. Right, so you tell me why sometimes then, when you've got a brother or sister and they do everything just right and you don't, how does it make you feel? Right, you've got a brother or sister who does everything just right, and mum and dad are always pleased with them, but you don't. How does that make you feel? Yes.
Angry.
Angry. Oh, that's a good one. How else does it make you feel?
Sad.
Sad? Yeah. What else? Come on, adults can join in as well. Jealous. Thank you. It makes you jealous. It makes you resentful. And if that builds up inside us, what happens? What sometimes do you see brothers and sisters doing with each other's toys? What might they do? Break them. They might break the toys. They might do something horrible to them. And if we let that build up inside us, it builds up, God tells us, like hate. And we end up doing things that really we shouldn't be doing at all. Bad things can lead to terrible things. And as we had in that passage, Cain was at the point where he destroyed his brother. What slide am I on? Okay, so next one please, Sarah. So jealousy and resentment, it seeks to destroy. That's what love isn't. That's what hate is. And sometimes you get it at school as well. When we were at school, if somebody was really good and maybe teacher's pet, you'd perhaps call them goody-goody. Or what do you call them now? Come on, somebody help me. What do you call them now? A geek or something like that. What else do you call them? A twat. Oh, right. Okay. Sarah tells me she works at a school now, so that's more up to date. But we say things horrible just because they're doing things well or they're doing things good. You see, one of the things is, when somebody's really good, how does it make us feel? How does it make us feel when somebody's really good in their personality, in their character, in what they do? How does it make us feel? Come on, adults. Otherwise, I'd be picking on people whose names I know. Come on. Brian.
Challenged.
It challenges us, doesn't it? We think, wow, they're so good. They've not got a bad bone in the body. They never say anything horrible about anybody. What else might it make us feel, as well as challenged? How else might it make us feel? Come on, I'm not doing all the work this morning. Inspired. It can sometimes inspire us. Inadequate. Very often it makes us feel inadequate, or sometimes it might even make us feel shame, that we can't be like that. There aren't many people you meet like that, but when they do. And actually, in that passage that we just had, John says, the world will hate you when you're a goody-goody, because when they look at you, they don't like what they see about themselves. And none of us like to be reminded how short we fall of true goodness. Next one, please, Sarah. So goody-goody, it shows us up for who we are, and we don't like it. And Jesus said the world will hate us, because when people look at Christians, if they are living a true Christian life, people won't like what they see, because they will see themselves in a poor light, which is not good. So love and hate are opposites. Love isn't hateful or hurtful. Love isn't resentful. I'll have the next one, please, Sarah. Love and hate are opposites. And in 1 Corinthians 13, it tells us a bit more. Love isn't hateful or hurtful. Love isn't resentful. Remember that resentment we just talked about that builds up? But love isn't like that. Love doesn't insist on its own way. Love isn't arrogant. Love isn't rude. Wow. That's quite something, isn't it, that we've got to. So what is love then? How do we understand it? Well, in this passage, it tells us that Jesus is the supreme example of love. So tell me, with our collective knowledge, we should have a long list. Tell me what it is that Jesus did that showed his love. Come on, whether you are little or big, I want some answers, please. He sacrificed. So he suffered. He suffered for us. That how much his love was. He was prepared to suffer because he loved us. What else, though? During his life, what did he do and say? He healed people. He had compassion on people. What else did he do? He forgave people, even those people who wanted to harm him. What else did he do? What was that, you? You've forgotten. What did he do on the hillside? On the hillside with lots of people there. Fed them, thank you. He fed the hungry. He looked at people and he saw their need. And in this passage, John says, if we see people in need, we need to do something about it. That's what love is. The other thing which Nyth was thinking about was that Jesus was actually fun to be with. I think that's quite challenging. When I was writing this, I thought, wow, are we as Christians fun to be with? Do people want to be with us?
Yes.
I hope so, Hugh. I hope so. Because Jesus was. And who did he draw to himself? It was the marginalized. It was the people who were on the outskirts of society. It was. So how do we do? What does that mean? Next one, please, Sarah. I don't know where I'm up to. Yeah, so love is not just words, but action. Our example of Jesus, and the next one, please, Sarah. So he had compassion, he fed the hungry, he met people's needs, he was fun to be with, and the marginalized loved to hang out with him. And he gave everything, even his own life. Well, for me, that's very challenging. Because how do we love like Jesus loved? How do we love? Because very easily resentment can come into our hearts. We see somebody in the village and we hurry away because we don't really want to spend time talking to them. Would Jesus have done that? What about at school? What about that child who never has anybody to play with? What would Jesus do? Because it was people like that who Jesus included in everything he did. He shouted to the blind man who was way on the edge of the crowd. He spoke to Zacchaeus upon the tree. He caught to the people who weren't included. So what does love mean for you and me, whether we are little and we're still in school or whether we're in the workplace? Because it happens in the workplace too, doesn't it? That actually, in the workplace, what happens, there are some people who are marginalised, some people who sit on their own for the lunch, some people that nobody wants to really to talk to or get into conversation with. Jesus said, those are the people that you are to love. Children, that's who you are to love, to include in your games. Would you like to come and play with me? And you say, ah, yeah, but wait a minute, Christine, because if I go and play with them, my friends won't want to play with me. But you know what? That's what Jesus did. Because when he loved, he suffered too. And we have to be ready to take the consequences of speaking to that nosy neighbor, of doing something. Because it's the annoying people, the people who are on the outside that we need to reach out to. Because that's the love of Jesus, and we need to reach out to that. Next one, please, Sarah. So, we need to be careful because resentment can come into our hearts very easily. But we need to rely on God's help. The Holy Spirit and prayer, they're all in that passage. And God said, I'll give you the strength, receive my love, and you will be able to love others. You can love the unlovely too. You can love that annoying person at work. You can love that child who doesn't ever get included in someone's game. You can love that neighbor who nobody else will speak to. It's practical things like that. John says you can say words, but actually it's your deeds too that matter. So we are to love one another. And that isn't when you feel like it. In this passage, what does John say? This is God's commandment, that we love one another. So we need to be able to love one another, to support one another, so that we can build one another up. And you know, that made me also think that sometimes we're short of people in church. We're short of people to do things, whether it's the coffee rota or whatever. That shouldn't be, should it? Because if we're really loving one another and building one another up, we should all play our part to help support one another. Okay, we're going to go on to the B. Believe. We should believe in the name of God's Son. We need creedal integrity. John finds it necessary to reiterate in the next chapter that Jesus came in the flesh. Things that they already knew, but he had to keep telling them. And we can't pretend that it doesn't matter. What we believe matters, because what we believe affects what we do. We can't deny him. John says if we deny him, then it doesn't matter. Our words and actions don't marry together. We must believe. And when we believe in Jesus, surely we want to live our life like him. In the Greek, when you say you believe in the name of, it means you believe in that person, that character, and you want to pattern your life on that person. So we need to ask ourselves, does our belief that Jesus is the Son of God who came to earth to show us how to live, who died on the cross, who rose again too. Do we use him as a pattern for our life? Belief means that it makes a difference to how we live. It's a chicken and egg situation. These things aren't one necessarily in a straight line. They all happen as we believe, we receive God's love, we receive the Spirit, and we're able to love others. And it's a continuous thing. And when we do this, we are brought closer to him. And then finally, John, I like John very much because one of the things that he does, he has these very black and white things, love and hate and light and darkness, but he always, always gives assurance to us. Next one, please, Sarah. So assurance, John says some hard things, but he's always ready to encourage us as believers. He wants Christians reading the letter, and he wants you and me to have no doubts. As Paul says, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Loving others is the fruit of our Christian character. The more we love, the more assurance we get, because we are abiding in Christ. Loving others is a sign that we really do belong to Jesus. It also tells us in verse 24 that the Holy Spirit abides with us. So as the Spirit abides, we love more. So it keeps on going round and round. Loving God, loving others, receiving from God, the Holy Spirit working in us. It gives us that assurance and it means that we will obey Him. Thank you, Sarah. So loving others is the fruit of our Christian character, a sign that we are abiding in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit abides in us. We change, a changed life, because Jesus is working within us. And we mustn't be impatient with ourselves, because sometimes it needs time, but we do need to ask God's Holy Spirit to work in us. And so finally, I'll have the last slide, please. Assurance, believe, and the commandment to love. There should be no doubt, as we believe in Jesus, as we receive His love, His forgiveness, we are assured that we are children of God. Believe in Him. Have that creedal authority to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There are people out there like the Jehovah's Witnesses who deny that. And that's the opposite of belief. They deny that Jesus is the Son of God, as so many other groups do too. So we need to know what we believe. And then we are to love. It's a commandment. We are to love, not just in word, but in deed. And so by God's grace, let His love fill us, so that by His Holy Spirit, we can be the people He wants us to be and to love all those around us. Amen.